Inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility trends in Canada. Issue Report 2 by Michelle Wilson, Sharon Karusala, and Vanessa Sinclair. Have you heard of EDI or DEI? Or maybe you've seen it written as D&I, DEIA, IDEA, and even JEDI. A number of different acronyms have popped up to summarize the values that promote full representation, fair treatment, and meaningful participation in the workplace and society. More than likely, you are already familiar with some or even all of the principles these acronyms represent. The Government of Canada and organizations nationwide have increasingly championed progress towards equity, diversity, and inclusion for everyone. But to create true equity and inclusion for people with disabilities, a fourth pillar is equally important: accessibility. What matters isn't the acronym you choose to communicate these concepts. It's about understanding their value and implementing them in your workplace. And as we'll see, inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility aren't something to assign just to the HR department. Employers benefit when they're built into the framework of their business. Below, we break down what's meant by inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility. They are distinct but mutually dependent values that contribute to a positive workplace culture. Inclusion. Inclusion means ensuring everyone belongs. It is creating an environment that welcomes, values, and respects all people, regardless of their identity. It means everyone is able to contribute, to participate in career advancement and development, and to be heard when they provide feedback or engage in decision-making processes. Without a culture of inclusion in the workplace, it's impossible to maintain diversity. If members of diverse groups do not feel they belong, they will certainly not feel empowered to do their best work, and they are unlikely to stay there at all. Diversity. Diversity refers to differences, including but not limited to race and ethnicity, gender, indigeneity, culture or religion, sexual orientation, nationality, socioeconomic status, education level, age, or disability. Canada is an incredibly diverse nation. A diverse workplace is one that more truly reflects the many demographics, experiences, abilities, and talents that make up our country. In short, diversity pertains to the presence of people from different walks of life in your workplace or elsewhere. Equity. Equity means providing necessary resources and opportunities to everyone in relation to their unique needs and abilities, that is, in a way that is fair and just. Equality and equity are often used interchangeably, but they are different. Equality is giving everyone equal access to the same resources and opportunities. At face value, this seems like a fair approach, but it fails to consider the barriers faced by members of historically marginalized groups. An equitable approach accounts for the barriers faced by equity-deserving groups, such as people with disabilities, women, or visible minorities. It adjusts the process and provides the resources necessary to create an equal opportunity. To give an example, an equal opportunity looks like a person with a disability and a person without a disability both getting a job interview. An equitable opportunity is when the person with a disability receives the accommodations they need without judgment or bias in the interview. Accessibility. Accessibility quite literally is the ability to access. It means making something usable to as many people as possible. That includes people with disabilities and people without. Accessibility can refer to the design of built environments, and this is what many people think of first. But it can also refer to products, services, devices, and digital environments. When something is not accessible, whether due to physical, institutional, or social constraints, barriers exist. Factors that prevent someone's full and meaningful participation in a space, or in their use of a product or service. You can see why accessibility is just as important as inclusion, diversity, and equity, and how it's related to them. People with disabilities will not be fully included, nor have equitable outcomes, unless accessibility is baked into a workplace culture. If the workplace is inaccessible to them, they will likely not be there at all. Equality is giving everyone the same things. Equity is giving people what they actually need to succeed. Why does it matter? Workplace discrimination is much more commonly faced by those who are members of equity-deserving groups, hindering efforts towards inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility. The Survey on Employment and Skills, Experiences of Discrimination at Work, showed the following trends. 30% of women experience gender-based discrimination at their workplace. 40% of racialized employees who are non-Caucasian in race or non-white experience race-based discrimination in the workplace. 40% of Indigenous employees experience discrimination in the workplace because of their Indigenous identity. 25% of employees with disabilities experience discrimination in the workplace because they have a disability. 33% of young adults aged 18 to 34 experience age-based discrimination in the workplace. It is known that employees with intersecting identities, i.e., being a part of multiple equity-deserving groups, are more likely to experience workplace discrimination. For example, age-based discrimination is more common for women across all age groups. 25% of employees who identify as a person with disability and belonging to the LGBTQ2S+ community considered themselves to be disadvantaged in employment because of their identities. 47% of employees from the LGBTQ2S+ experienced discrimination when they also belonged to another equity-deserving group. The benefits of promoting inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility, IDEA, practices in the workplace are well established. Organizations that apply these principles make better decisions, anticipate changes, capture more market share, and are more economically successful in the short and long term, to name just a few benefits. In today's high-stakes environment, when the competition for top talent is fierce and factors like the COVID-19 pandemic shake up the way we do business, these values should be an even higher priority. What exactly does intersection mean? Below, we talk about intersectionality, a crucial component to implementing IDEA strategies. Intersectionality. There is another important I word that ties all of these values together: intersectionality. You may have heard intersectionality come up in meetings, appear in articles, or in workshops or training sessions. It might sound like a buzzword, often used in conversations about IDEA. But what is intersectionality? What does it have to do with the workplace? Intersectionality recognizes that people have more than one identity, relating to gender, disability, race, citizenship, nationality, class, and religion, amongst others. It helps us to understand people's multifaceted identities and highlights that while each facet of the person can be linked to specific barriers on its own, some people with multiple marginalized identities face complex experiences of discrimination or barriers because of how these facets intersect. Identities overlap or intersect within a person, so can the experiences of barriers and discrimination. The term intersectionality was coined by Kimberlé Crenshaw in 1989 while she explored Black women's experiences of workplace discrimination through her analysis of legal proceedings. Crenshaw found that these cases were often overlooked and misunderstood, as their experiences were not solely based on their sex or race, but were compounded by the interplay of both. Crenshaw used the following metaphor to illustrate the point. Quote, "Consider an analogy to traffic in an intersection, coming and going in all four directions. Discrimination, like traffic through an intersection, may flow in one direction, and it may flow in another. If an accident happens in an intersection, it can be caused by cars traveling from any number of directions and, sometimes, from all of them. Similarly, if a Black woman is harmed because she is in the intersection, her injury could result from sex discrimination or race discrimination." End quote. This analogy can be used to make sense of other complex identity intersections as well, particularly as they relate to the workforce. It is important to know that an intersection is not just the sum of, for example, sexism and racism. It is unique to the person and their circumstances, and can be compounding, not just additive. Contemporarily, the understanding of intersectionality has expanded to include varying communities and identities that often experience discrimination, including, but not limited to, race, gender, sexuality, and citizenship, and of course, disability as well. To give an example in the employment context, imagine there is someone trying to enter the workforce. They have applied to a position for which they are qualified. They are an Indigenous person, a woman, and a person with a disability. All three of these identities are known to experience barriers to employment, underrepresentation in the workforce, and discrimination. If this applicant experienced bias in the hiring process, it would be extremely difficult to point to the specific identity being discriminated against. It may very well be that the discrimination occurs at the intersection of their indigeneity, gender, and disability. The barriers are layered and compounded. It is important to recognize and unpack the role of intersecting identities in addressing barriers in and around the workforce, and in the application of IDEA policies and initiatives. If work being done to support diversity and inclusion focuses on one specific identity, such as disability or gender, it is very possible that those who are meant to be supported by these efforts will still experience barriers. In the example of the job applicant above, let's say the organization she has applied to has been working hard to be more gender inclusive in their hiring, and has recently implemented policies to help eliminate barriers to employment for women, trans, non-binary, and other gender-diverse applicants. While these new policies might provide supports that relate to gender, they could still be experiencing barriers as an Indigenous person and as a person with disabilities, and through the compounding nature of all three. When we approach IDEA through a single identity lens, we can easily overlook other barriers. This is why an intersectional lens should be used to frame IDEA practices, policies, and supports. Beyond the buzz, intersectionality in policy. So far, we've talked about what intersectionality is and how applying intersectional frameworks supports idea practices and initiatives. But what is intersectionality's importance for businesses? Is it worth the time and effort? While we know that intersectional idea policies and practices are critical in dismantling barriers and unlocking opportunity for workers, it is also relevant to businesses. Legislation and policies across Canada speaking to accessibility and equity in employment are recognizing intersectionality beyond its use as a buzzword. The Accessible Canada Act, enacted in 2019, was created to eliminate barriers for people with disabilities by 2040 and address barriers across 7 priority areas. One of the 7 being of particular importance to businesses, employment. The ACA outlines a number of principles that organizations are expected to follow in complying with the regulations. One of the principles explicitly points to intersectionality, as it states, quote, "Laws, policies, programs, services, and structures must take into account the disabilities of persons, the different ways that persons interact with their environments, and the multiple and intersecting forms of marginalization and discrimination faced by persons." End quote. This principle not only illustrates the imperative of incorporating intersectionality into barrier dismantling practices and policies, but it also emphasizes intersectionality as an expectation under the ACA. Emerging from the ACA is the mandated development of accessibility standards by Accessibility Standards Canada, ASC. We can expect these standards to incorporate intersectionality as guided by the ACA and its principles. Outlined in the work completed by the ASC thus far is the application of inclusion and intersectionality in programs that support accessibility standard development. This can be seen across many of the activities carried out by the ASC, including the intentional structuring of their technical committees in which, on average, 50% of committee members are reported to be people with disabilities and include a balance of Indigenous people, LGBTQ2IA+ individuals, seniors, visible minorities, women, and youth, and their use of Gender-Based Analysis Plus, GBA+, which is an analysis method that is used to understand the impacts of policy, programs, and initiatives on people with varying genders. If the standards created by ASC are made regulation by the government, they will become mandatory. With the potential of mandatory regulations on the horizon, it is opportune for businesses to be in step with current legislation, or better yet, at the forefront of emerging accessibility standards. Intersectionality is not a trend, but a priority in accessibility and equity legislation that is here to stay. Other critical pieces of federal employment legislation are progressing towards incorporating intersectionality. The Employment Equity Act, EEA, is currently under review with the intent of both strengthening and modernizing the current employment equity framework. Tasks involved in the EEA review include applying intersectionality across all work and involve the application of the GBA+. This review is being done in response to a clear need to modernize legislative language that has not kept up with contemporary needs, and to include other equity-deserving groups that face barriers to employment, such as members of the LGBTQ2S+ community. Additionally, there has been a call from various groups including, but not limited to, researchers, employer associations, unions, and community groups to ensure the EEA is in line with, quote, intersectional, contemporary understandings and concerns of Indigenous peoples, persons living with disabilities, Black and racialized people, and gender identity and gender equality, end quote. With the review of the EEA underway, we can expect to see intersectionality included through both the process and amendments made to this legislation, making it timely for employers to be at the forefront of understanding and implementing intersectionality in the workplace. While some people may already be well-versed in intersectionality and how to apply it, this can feel challenging or burdensome to others. If you're an employer thinking about applying IDEA and intersectionality principles in your workplace, policies, and practices, but aren't sure where to begin, the highly skilled team at Innova can provide personalized support and work with you to develop and implement innovative, intersectional business solutions. CCRW Spotlight, Intersectionality in Our Work. As a part of CCRW's mission to break down barriers to employment for people with disabilities, CCRW recognizes and values the diversity of the job seekers and employees with disabilities they support. CCRW has developed programs and projects that apply intersectional frameworks to best support employees and job seekers with disabilities and other intersecting identities. CCRW's Empower program provides and tests effective, trauma-informed pre-employment skills development through a wraparound supportive approach for women job seekers who self-identify with a disability and are living at the intersections of race, indigeneity, the LGBTQ2S+ community, and/or prolonged detachment from the labor force. Applying an intersectional framework to address barriers, this program works towards workplace inclusivity and increased labor market participation for women with disabilities. Through the Accessibility First project, CCRW is working with broad-based partners to break down barriers for people with disabilities and other equity-deserving identities, such as women and Indigenous youth, to train, test, and secure employment in the Red Seal trades of cook and Red Seal general maintenance within the provinces of Manitoba and British Columbia. This project applies an intersectional framework to meet the unique needs of those with multiple equity-deserving identities looking to enter the trades. CCRW candidate data. Data collected about CCRW candidates gives us a snapshot of who is using our employment services, be it those that focus on pre-employment skills or upskilling, job searching, getting the proper accommodations or supports at work, or other services that support employment retention. Understanding the demographics of those using our services, particularly when compared to the Canadian population statistics, helps to paint a picture of the demographics most in need of support in entering, remaining, or progressing in the workforce. Data from the 2021 census provided insights into Canadians that identify as LGBTQ2S+. And for the first time in any country, Canada collected census data on transgender and non-binary people. We can look to this landmark data collection to understand how the demographics of our candidates weigh against the Canadian population. Data CCRW collects on pronouns shows just under half of our candidates tell us their pronouns are she/her, indicating many of our candidates are women. Additionally, nearly 2% of our candidates use they/them pronouns, and an additional 0.6% prefer to self-describe their pronouns. For example, she/her/they/them, both she/her and he/him, indicating they may identify as non-binary or transgender. Comparing this to Canadian census data that reports 0.33% of the population aged 15 and older identify as transgender or non-binary, we can see CCRW may serve a proportionately higher number of candidates from this demographic. An image is depicted of a pie chart displaying the reported pronoun breakdown of CCRW candidates. Nearly 54% of candidates reported he/him pronouns. Over 43% of candidates reported she/her pronouns. Nearly 2% of candidates reported they/them pronouns. And just over 0.5% of candidates reported other pronouns. All CCRW candidates identify themselves as people with disabilities. As we know, those with identities at the intersection of multiple equity-deserving groups above are usually at a higher risk of being discriminated against, not having equal opportunities, and being employed. Equity data CCRW has collected since June 2022 shows that nearly 10% of CCRW's candidates identify as LGBTQ2S+. Almost 11% are Indigenous Canadians, nearly a quarter are visible minorities in Canada, and over 5% of our candidates are new immigrants to Canada. For comparison, from Canadian population data, we know that only 5% of the population identifies as LGBTQ2S+, 4% identify as Indigenous, and 22% identify as visible minorities. This means that candidates at CCRW represent higher proportion of visible minorities, LGBTQ2S+ individuals, and Indigenous candidates than are represented in the Canadian population. This underscores the barriers to work experienced by individuals who sit at the intersection of disability and other equity-deserving identities. CCRW's equity data also shows that many candidates experience several intersecting identity factors. For example, 245, or 23.5% of candidates belonged to more than one of the equity-deserving groups listed above. And further, 45, or 4.3% of candidates belonged to three or more of the equity-deserving groups. The figures above show the proportions of CCRW candidates that identify as LGBTQ2S+, and have other intersecting equity-deserving identities. For more examples, click here to view the interactive Power BI dashboard showing intersectionality across CCRW's candidates. Four images are displayed to graphically depict the statistics mentioned in this issue.